Hello, everyone. Welcome to Local Matters. This is Ben Rogers. Excited to have the opportunity to be in front of State Representative Mr. Ed Butler. Ed, how are you, sir?
I'm great. I appreciate you having me on today.
Well, I appreciate you being here. Listen, I know how busy you are, and I knew before this year that the legislators were busy this time of year, but I really know now that I'm up there with you all doing my duties as Executive Director for the County Official Association. Are you tired of seeing me yet?
No, you're always a good visitor to have.
Well, I appreciate it. I've visited with him and seen him in the halls, and he always stops and speaks. I can say that Ed is a friendly legislator, representative for your community and the state, and is always willing to talk to people. I don't think I've ever seen you turn anybody away. So let's talk about let's remind everybody, which counties do you serve here?
So, of course, I live in Overton County, but I serve Overton, Morgan, part of Fentress, part of Roan, and part of Anderson County. So it's a very, very large geographic district.
It's a large geographic district. It's about the same amount of people represented. That's how they design the districts. So you represent about the same amount of people. But you have to go far and wide.
I do.
Kingston's no, or Roan County is no short feat from Rickman, you know?
Well, to get to Norris Lake, which is the northeastern portion of my district, to get to Andersonville, Norris Lake, you're looking about 2.5 hours.
Wow.
Plus an hour time change. So it's a task to cover that much area.
That is a task. And I want to talk about how much you get out, because I know you do. But I do want to say this. We're going to talk about your committees, your own. But my service so far this time at session, working with you has been a pleasure. And one of the reasons it's been a pleasure, easy to talk to. You ask good questions. When Bryce and I came in to show our legislative agenda, you asked more questions than anybody. I don't know if I was prepared.
I don't know if that's a good thing
or not. Well, no, it was good. I'm glad. I don't know if I was fully prepared for all of them, but you got us thinking. But I know this. You're a proponent of county government, and you ask questions that will help them, but you also have supported those things that's come up in county government. And I want to say I appreciate that. I know our elected officials do, and especially you serving parts of, what, five counties?
That's correct.
That's five different sets of elected officials, counties and cities, that are calling you, right?
That's right.
So that's something else to think about, how many different legislative bodies are calling you on the local level. That's quite a few. But let everybody know, you're vice chair of transportation.
That is correct. House Transportation.
House Transportation. You are on the subcommittee for cities and counties, House subcommittee. You are on the House State and Local Government Committee, which this year they combined, right?
They did. They combined state government and local government into one big committee. I think there's 23 members on that committee, so it is a big committee.
So do we know why they did that? Was it just efficiency?
They made quite a bit of adjustments this year with the committees, and that's just the way the speaker decided to do all that. And, of course, the state and local government has five committees, subcommittees that feed into that. And then I also serve on the transportation subcommittee. And so it feeds into transportation.
I have found subcommittees are so important. If there's something that's not favorable to the people I serve, which are some of the county elected officials, I need to really work subcommittees and have those visits with you all and talk to you all as a lobbyist and tell you why we don't support something or why we have brought legislation to you and support something. And that could help determine how far it's going to go. I'll give you a bill. For example, there was a bill that was introduced to give the legislative body, the county commission, control over elected officials' raises, their salary increases, if they're in a distressed county. Now, we live in Upper Cumberland.
That's right.
And we do have a couple distressed counties up here, and you serve at least one or two of those, I believe. And so I understand the thought of trying to save the taxpayer money, but we're talking about $30,000 max in those distressed counties, non-distressed counties, that was going to be an increase. That's a max. That could be less. And I went to you all in the subcommittee, and then not only did I go to you all, who else – who did you hear from?
I don't know that I can name them all. There were so many of them. With five sets of elected officials, I had lots of folks call the office or text me or both saying, hey, don't support this. And of course, I asked a lot of them questions like I did you. Why not?
Right.
And so I try to evaluate legislation, regardless of what it is, based on the merits of what it's going to do. Because sometimes things appear to do one thing, and if you don't ask them questions, they really do something else, or the unintended consequences sometimes that nobody thinks about. And like this salary cap, I think the genesis of that was carried by a House member that served some very, very small counties.
Sure.
And so those counties are much, much smaller than some of the ones I serve. And I've got some smaller counties. Fentress, for example, is about 18,000. You know, if we cut our salaries down to less than what you would make working at a local job there, we won't get qualified people.
Right.
As you well know, you need people that can balance budgets and do lots of things, whether they're in the clerk's office, whether they're in a county mayor position, whether they're a road superintendent. There's a lot of things that go in there
yes.
that are behind the scenes,
yes.
not just going out and saying we're going to pave a road, but they've got to have a budget for their entire department and payroll and all. There's lots of stuff to be able to do.
They're responsible for a lot, right?
They are. There is a lot of things to do.
And there's a lot of services they're responsible for carrying out, and two of those elected officials, a sheriff and a highway superintendent, have to be certified and
That's
approved
right.
by the state.
That's right.
And so to minimize their compensation, their benefits, it's playing in an area where we may not, as you say, get good qualified people to run to carry out a constitutional oath that they take for the duties they have to provide. And I think I appreciate the subcommittee seeing that. It didn't move past that. I'm sure it'll come back up again. And I understand the motive. I don't fault the guy at all. This rep is a great guy. He's very smart. I don't fault him at all for listening to one of his counties and saying, hey, we need some help here. But we'll see what happens. But I appreciate your support on that. And I know our elected officials do too.
Well, it's interesting. A lot of times, not just me, but lots of legislators have a constituent or a group of constituents that come to them and say, hey, we've got this issue.
Mm-hmm.
So he or she says, hey, well, we can run a piece of legislation to try to fix that.
Right.
And sometimes they don't think about how it will negatively affect somebody else because they're doing it because it's in the best interest of the constituents they're serving.
Sure. Yeah.
And so I think sometimes there's unintended consequences that nobody realizes until we get into the weeds, so to speak, and try to pull everything back and say, okay, how is this going to affect everybody?
Yeah.
So, and I don't think anybody does that intentionally.
Right.
It just kind of happens.
Right. That's right. I mean, and we don't talk red, blue here. We don't offer opinions. I don't say who's right and who's wrong. I won't do that. And I know where you stand. But one point I was going to say, it's not always divisive up there. Not always.
It's not.
You commonly work with the other side of the aisle on several issues. And you commonly agree. Often, right?
There's a lot of bipartisan support for legislation. There's obviously some things that they're going to be just their party platforms are going to differ on. But there's lots of legislation that's bipartisan support.
I've seen, and I don't remember which bill it was, and you'll have to recall either because, golly, hundreds of bills that you see. But 2 weeks ago, I think in the subcommittee, you voted not with the common side of it because you felt strongly about something.
That's right.
You know,
I try to look at the nuts and the bolts and say, listen to lobbyists or constituents, because sometimes there's citizens that come up and say, hey, this is why I'm support this or this is why I'm against it. Well, tell me why.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just say I'm against it.
Mm-hmm.
Give me an example. Show me why you're against it. Let me see, you know, behind the curtain, so to speak. And sometimes I understand why they're.
I love that, because you did say why to one of the officials that called you, because they called me and said, I don't know where he's going. I said, listen, he's just asking questions. He wants to know. He's not up there just to assume things. He wants to hear back from what you all feel and how you feel about things and answer the question. And that way he can take it back and figure out what he's going to do. A bill that come through state and local that you were on to help with in a time of need, I should say. The County Clerks Association mm-hmm. wanted to do a bill and offer an opportunity for a county that's been hit by a disaster. So if a disaster comes through a county and it shuts down a county clerk's office, the constituents in that county can go to the neighboring county with their agreement, with their approval, and get their tags renewed, get a title for buying a car, all those things a county clerk does. And that bill passed this week. And so I think that was a good thing. You were on that committee.
I was.
Yeah.
I think it's a good bill. I think it's neighbors helping neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
So if Overton County had a natural disaster, I mean, we've seen a natural disaster occur in Putnam County a number of years ago with a tornado. And so to have an adjacent county be able to say, hey, we'll provide those services for your citizens. Because if you've got car tags and car titles and there's business that gets done in those clerk's office every day, it would require some extra work in those counties, but I think that's just being neighborly.
Yeah, that's part of a disaster recovery plan, too, for a county, if it's in place. Because by the law, another county couldn't do that. That's why this bill came through, right?
So
we at the County Officials Association, the county clerks, came to you all. That was pretty much a no-brainer. I mean, I don't. We had some questions, but there was never anybody just adamant saying this ain't going to work. Because it's like you said.
It's a good example of bipartisan support.
Yes.
That wasn't a partisan issue. It was, let's help a neighbor help a neighbor.
Yeah. So, so your vice chair of House Transportation, is that busier than the local government committee? How do you compare the two?
Local, state and local government, it's a very busy committee. Yeah. Of course, it's got really four subcommittees, direct subcommittees, and then there's another committee that feeds into that. It's busier because of the subcommittees that are under it and all of the different issues that it's dealing with that all feed into that big committee. So it's by far the busiest. We shut down transportation full this week.
Okay.
So sub was shut down last week, transportation full this week, and cities and counties was shut down, but it's got to reopen for a bill. There was an issue that's over in East Tennessee that they've got to address, so it will be back open next week.
Okay.
For one bill.
And they can do that, right?
That's
within
right.
Within the legality of the way the legislature set up, they can open back up. So I guess, are you thankful that transportation committee is over with? It kind of gives you a little breathing room.
It gives a little bit of breathing room for the schedule, for sure, but I really enjoy transportation. I like that committee. You know, transportation is very important in a rural district because a lot of your highways that people use to get around the district are state highways. So it's very important to be able to address those issues and kind of have when you're on a committee, whether it's transportation or state and local or health or whatever, you know, you that's usually something that you spend a lot of time looking at. Mm-hmm. All that legislation relates to that topic. And so I won't say you're a subject matter expert, but you are definitely more familiar in that world that you're in.
Yeah, and of course, the state highways, we have a lot in the Upper Cumberland, especially your counties, but then the county roads, right? You're getting calls from your highway superintendents a lot.
Well, there's something we're going to have to do in the very near future. Right now, we have $38 billion, with a B, dollars worth of projects that are essentially shovel-ready, and they're ready to be started. But we don't have the funding to do it.
Yeah.
And TDOT has a $3.3 billion budget. And so to do all these highway projects, you know, we're going to put $1 billion, which sounds like it is a lot of money. I mean, to me and you, it's a tremendous amount of money. But that's just going to make a dent in the projects that we have on the slate to get done. So we're going to have to do some dedicated funding or something's going to have to change to help with the infrastructure resources on a state level, but even more so on a county level.
Yeah.
Because counties are getting some of their funding from the state, and that's it. They don't have enough.
They don't have money from the county commission. You're right. I am with State Representative Ed Butler. Glad to have him here on Local Matters. We'll be back after this break. Welcome back to Local Matters. Ben Rogers here with State Representative Ed Butler. Ed comes out of Rickman, Overton County, serves parts of five counties, or some holes in parts of five. But anyway, a lot of people we know, a big geographic area. Ed, we were talking before the break about some legislation, and of course we were talking about transportation. Your vice chair of the House Transportation Committee. It's closed.
It is.
That frees you up to do some other things now. The one thing that changed this year, and I want to ask how it changed, I'll start with it, is used to your cap of how many bills you sponsored as a state representative was 15. They changed it to 12.
That is true.
How's that change made? Do you all vote on that?
It is. It is voted in the rules package by the House, but generally, you know, the caucus will come to an agreement on that. And just to be – they originally wanted 10, and there were several of us like myself that said, hey, I've got five counties. If I have – five bills that I have to carry, one for each county, then I've eaten up half my bills.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a compromise to go to 12 with the understanding in 26 we go back to 10.
Oh, wow.
Because people had worked in that direction. And so we'll see where that goes.
So is it safe to say, especially for my position, because I'm an association that has to find sponsors, right? This next session in 26, we need to get to the reps early to ask for their sponsorship.
It does. I think it, and I've heard that from lots of folks, lots of organizations that are looking for a rep to carry a bill or whatever the case may be. It's made it very challenging. When you go from 15 to 12, you don't think too much about it. But when you cut 300 bills, round numbers, out that are available, because not everybody will file their 12 or their maximum, whatever it is, it makes it very difficult for some organizations to get legislators because there's just no spots left.
Right. Well, we'll see how it works. I mean, I know it reduces your workload, which is not a bad thing because, again, I said it earlier, y'all have so many bills that come across your desk. And then people like organizations like us, we're sending you talking points. We're meeting with you with talking points. We're telling you why it's good or it's not good. That's a lot of time. And so, from what I've seen, y'all all handle your schedules really well. But that's a lot of work. I mean,
to be honest, we don't handle our schedule.
Well, that's true.
My assistant
that's true.
Handles the schedule because I'd have myself triple booked.
That's true.
She does a good job. Mackenzie does a great job. She, you know, you call her and say, hey, I need to be there at 8 o'clock or whatever time it is, and she'll block you out some time, and so she does a really good job managing that and keeping me on track and coming into the office and saying, oh, your next meeting's here to try to keep me on schedule.
She is very good.
She does a great job.
She does a great job. So you've got a lot of good help. So you got a max of 12 bills this year. Within those ones that you sponsored, do you have a favorite?
Probably the one that kind of carries on with the legislation that I've carried over the last several years is my safe haven bill. What it does, and in the past I've carried legislation that expanded 911 centers and nursing homes to have a safe haven location and a safe haven and or a safe haven box. And by the way, they just dedicated one last Friday in Wartburg.
Okay.
And then in 2 weeks, we'll be opening another one in District 41 in Jamestown at the 911 center there. So that's legislation that I carried last year that I'm really grateful to see it kind of come to fruition. And so this year, I've got legislation that will expand the age from 14 days old to 45 days old.
Okay.
And so there are states out there, I think North Dakota, you can surrender a child up to a year old. Now, I said, if we take it too far, then some of these people will be cramming 13-year-old kids in these boxes.
Right.
So I'm really grateful to see that legislation, something I've worked on multiple times and carried lots of legislation related to adoption and safe haven, and it's really rewarding to see a box get put in.
Yeah, I think that's that is rewarding. It's definitely a worthy cause, right?
Absolutely. You know.
And we need people focusing on those things. Do you call yourself an expert in any area of legislation? Because you know you have people that are former elected officials, maybe they're a former clerk of court, so they're good with the clerks of court. They're good with judicial stuff. Do you call yourself?
I would not call my expert in anything. there's too many. There's things that come up you've never even thought about necessarily. And as a business owner, a lot of times I look at it as a business.
Right.
You know, how would that affect me as a business owner? Would that legislation help make my job harder? Or would it make my job easier? You know, I carried some legislation last year to require state agencies that are inspecting construction to do so within 72 hours. And we've passed it, but to 10 days, which is still not good enough, I don't think.
Right.
So I look at things a lot of times from the lens of a business owner.
What was the passion on the safe haven a few years ago? What started that passion for you to see something improve?
Well, I've carried adoption, I guess, in 23. I saw a problem in working with Hope Center Foundation here in Cookeville. It was taking 20 and 22 months in some cases to adopt an abandoned child, which would fall back under the safe haven and those types of things. And so I carried legislation in 23 to be able to do that in 100 days. And I know in Putnam County it's been used.
Oh, yeah.
Which is really good to know that it got used just a few weeks after it was implemented in 23. And so those types of things, because I do have two adopted children, so that's passion. I see the impact that it had on them to better their life. And so I would hope other people, other adults and moms and dads would see the result themselves by adopting somebody, putting them in a good home, and changing their life for the better. So that's one of the reasons I've been so focused on that and so passionate about that. And then the safe haven, to me, that's just it's a great thing to do. And what's interesting, we dedicated that box last Friday, and last Tuesday night there was a baby surrendered at the baby box in Chattanooga. So it works.
Right. That's great. So speaking of your children, I've been at least two committee meetings. You have three daughters, is that right?
I do.
I've been at least two committee meetings where you've had two of your daughters there. And both times, I don't know how it worked out. I guess I just like sitting on the second row. I sit right behind them. I mean, literally right behind them. And I wanted to tap them on the shoulder and tell them who I was. But I love the fact that the legislators and the committee chairs allow you all to recognize people that's near and dear to you, not only your children, but your constituents and people that are in the committee room. And so I was in there both times. Which daughters did you have with you?
So I've had all three. I've had Kaylin, Avery, and Evie. Kaylin was the last one up there. And they're all adults, and they have their own careers. But it's nice for them to come and say, hey, I'm going to take a day off, or it's my day off.
Mm-hmm.
I want to come to the Capitol and spend the day with you. And, of course, for them to do that, they have to get up early, drive up there, and then, of course, they've got to drive home that night. But I always enjoy them coming up there because they see kind of what goes on. Yesterday, I had a young man from Rick Eldridge's district up in Northeast Tennessee that was my shadow. And so he was a sophomore in high school. And they had 41 of those shadows up there yesterday that were kind of shadowing legislators. And I think it's great. You know, one of the things I enjoy doing the most is the leadership groups, whether it's an adult leadership group or whether it's a kids or, you know, high school students. Typically, you'll have high school students. I really enjoy having those groups come up there because I think it's so important for people to see how the legislature works. Now, they're not going to understand everything. I didn't understand everything my first year. And still probably don't know everything. I never will.
Right.
But it's good for them to come up there and see how things work because it doesn't work like you think it does until you come down there. I mean, you can attest to that yourself.
Yes.
Especially from the procedural things. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense initially. You catch on.
Right.
But it moves very quickly a lot of times.
Yep.
And you don't know exactly what's going on until somebody says, hey, this is the process.
Yeah. I love that you're giving kids an opportunity, especially in high school, to learn and see how this works. And it is not what you think it is. I have Representative Ed Butler with me here on Local Matters. This is Ben Rogers. We'll be back after this break. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Local Matters. State Representative Ed Butler with me here today. Delighted to have him. Great information so far. So we closed last segment about getting students involved and getting them to Cordell Hull. And then to the Capitol for them to see how the mock session with the House and Senate. And I think it's important. I've had these discussions with not only county leaders and state leaders, but people like at the University's Tennessee's County Technical Assistance Service and the NAFI Center for Effective Leadership. How do we get more young people involved with government?
Well,
right?
That's a great question. You know, I think these youth leadership programs and most of my counties have a youth leadership, and some of them have adult leaderships, but the youth is so important because it gets them engaged. They kind of see, is this something I'm interested in? You know, I never thought I would ever be in politics, ever. You know, I always thought it was crazy to go run for something, and whether you won or lost, I thought it was kind of crazy. But I think it's great for them to come on. So one of the things that they do, I think it's really good for the kids, and it's good for anybody, is doing a mock session. And so they'll do it on the House floor, on the Senate floor. And, of course, I share Anderson County with the lieutenant governor. And so typically if we have Anderson County come in, we use the Senate chambers. And their procedures are just a little bit different than the House. And so probably my favorite experience with a leadership group. And one of the challenges is usually getting the kids engaged. You know, they'll have some bills, I mean, like maybe wearing a hat in school or getting off on your birthday or stuff like that. And it's really hard to get the kids engaged.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want them to pick up the microphone and go through the procedural items. And usually I try to go around and kneel down next to the desk and say, hey, if you'll say this, this is what you do. And a lot of times once you get them going, it'll take off. But it takes a little pushing. So my favorite one probably was last year. They had the Anderson County Youth Leadership Group up there, and it was probably 20-something kids. It was a pretty good-sized group. And we had done a couple of those bills and just kind of got them a little bit engaged. And the young lady says, hey, I've got a bill I want to run. Well, I never bothered to ask her what it was. I just said, it'll take off. Well, her bill is tying your voting rights to the number of hours you worked.
Wow.
And as you can imagine, it sparked quite the debate.
Yeah.
Which was really great because that's what we wanted to do.
Right.
And so the lieutenant governor wasn't in there when we first started that session. And he comes in and his assistant, you know, they run those things pretty tight because mm-hmm. they got another group coming in behind us. And I get the nod that we've got to cut the debate off after 45 minutes.
Wow.
And so needless to say, the bill didn't pass.
Right.
I think it failed by a vote or two. But
wow.
It was just interesting because it got the kids engaged. That's the whole point. Let's get them engaged. They got to pick up their microphones, and they usually put a student up in the dais where the speaker stands,
sure.
and they kind of run the show up there,
good.
At the guidance of the lieutenant governor, speaker, whomever's in there. And I think that's really, really good. That's a good experience for kids.
It is. And so I think when they're subject to that, they're exposed to those how session works and how bills go through the floor and voted on and discussed. Maybe that'll spark some of them to want to serve one day, right?
It does. You know, there's lots of Tech students that are served up there. My assistant actually went to Tech.
Okay.
So she's not from Cookeville, but
right.
she went to Tech, political science major, and then did an internship up there and then got hired in the clerk's office. And then I recruited her out of the clerk's office. I had an assistant that just wasn't jiving, so to speak.
Right.
And she was kind of temporarily filling in while she had COVID. And I said, hey, why don't you just come be my assistant? And so it's been great. She does a great job. But she was a tech student. And so there's a young lady down the hallway that was from Scott County. That so these are young people that have graduated college and they've gone and worked in the legislature. They may stay there their entire career. Some people really enjoy being a legislative assistant because their job is very, very critical. I mean, you've been up there. You see what they do just to manage the schedule for us. Yep. But really, a lot of times the first lifeline for somebody calling with a constituent issue.
Yep.
Hey, I need help with X, Y, and Z. They call that office, and that's usually their first interaction with our office. So McKenzie does a great job of that.
Well, and it's good to have somebody personable and communicate, right?
That's absolutely very important.
Political science major obviously is helpful because they understand the politics of what's going on. So we talked last segment about you being capped at 12 bills of sponsoring. We talked about your safe haven bill. Are there any other bills that stick out to you?
I talked earlier about a lot of times we carry legislation related to a constituent or group of constituents. And so I carried legislation to make alpha-gal a reportable disease, which is the tick-borne disease. I know there are several of them, but alpha-gal was not a reportable disease in Tennessee until we carried this legislation. And that was brought to me by a constituent that actually had alpha-gal, actually from Morgan County. And she brought me this concern where some of the states had done it and said, hey, here, can you do this? And so absolutely, that's what we're here for, is to serve our constituents. Mm-hmm. And I had emails from all over the state in support of that legislation. And that's another example of bipartisan. That was something that everybody supported because it's good for Tennesseans.
Yeah, and so serving our constituents, that's exactly right. That's why you get elected. That's why you serve. And that's one of the reasons I'm doing the job I'm doing, is because I'm advocating for our elected officials so they can better serve their constituents.
That's right.
And you're helping them by helping with legislation and voting on that or defeating some things. And is there ever a time where you're like, somebody will call you and say, I would love to introduce or love for you to sponsor this bill or think about this, and you've just had to say no, and you're just like, well, I hate to do this. You don't have enough room to sponsor it, or maybe you're not passionate. What happens when somebody calls and you may have to turn somebody down?
Well, sometimes you can't run legislation to fix that. We do have that issue come up.
That's a good point.
Hey, can you run a law? I'll give you an example. A number of years ago, I had a lady call, and she was an older lady, and she says, I need you to run a bill to deal with slumlords. And I said, well, ma'am, I'll be glad to run a bill, but what's the problem? Mm-hmm. Why do you need this bill run? And she told me about her situation, and so we were able to get her some resources to – she was in a bad situation.
Right.
Running that bill would never have helped her.
Right.
What she needed was immediate help.
Okay.
So we got her resources that were able to get her in a better living situation. But so not every time legislation is necessary. Sometimes people call wanting you to run a bill, and they don't understand the process – when we were able to better help her by getting the resources she needed.
That's great. So have your when your daughters are up there, have they ever looked at you and say, are you crazy? Or have they ever look at you and say, I want to do this one day?
None of them have said they want to do this one day. But they realize how busy it is. And you've got all kinds of people coming in with all kinds of different issues. And the most of the issues that your people are coming to you are related to your committees.
Right.
Or your own bills that you're carrying.
Sure.
Some people support, some people don't. Some people are saying, hey, I think we can make it better by doing this. And I appreciate your comment earlier. And my assistant's commented many times. She said, you'll meet with anybody. And I will, whether I agree with them or not. As long as they're respectful, mm-hmm. we can sit down and have a conversation. Whether we're on opposite sides of the table or not, if they're respectful, I'd be glad to listen to them. And then I would expect them to listen to me. Let me give them my opinion. Some of the best meetings I've had really were with people that I adamantly disagreed with.
Really?
But we had a mutual respect to exchange ideas, whether we agreed at the end of the day or not. And I think we've kind of lost that some in today's society. People just want to yell, and we can't be friends even if we disagree. It's okay.
Right. Yeah, I've had that conversation with a couple of lobbyists up there that's maybe working against something that we're proposing, or maybe we're trying to defeat something they propose. And most of the time this session, it's been positive where we've come to an agreement. But I've got a couple that just, they're not happy with me right now. And that's just part of it. I mean, there's nothing I can do besides be kind and then try to work with them.
That's right. One of the things I learned the first year I was up there is the representative that's against you today may be your biggest advocate tomorrow on piece of legislation.
Yeah.
That's just because of where they're passionate about. You may think this is the greatest bill in the world, and they may be just the opposite. This is terrible. But tomorrow, y'all are on the same side fighting the same battle.
That's right.
So you know, my advice to anybody that's in politics is don't burn the bridge.
Right.
Because the guy that you're working against today may be your biggest ally tomorrow.
That's right. Yeah. So, is this your fourth?
Or this will be my third year.
Session. Yeah.
Third year.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes people vote against your bills that are your friends. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have to vote against their bills,
right.
And it's not personal.
Right.
It's either you've had a constituent say, "Hey, this is terrible. This is why," or you may have your own beliefs that you don't think that's good legislation, or both.
Right.
Sometimes they're both.
Yeah.
I had some constituents called yesterday morning, said, "Hey, this particular bill number, I know it's not in your committee, but it'll be on the floor at some point. This is terrible. This is why." Because my question is why.
Why? Yeah.
I always ask why. I want to know why.
Yeah.
And so usually they've got a very good explanation. This is why, and this is how it's going to affect me or my business or whatever the case may be. But just working with people.
Yeah. Well, and you're working with people. I've seen it firsthand. We don't have a crystal ball, but when do you think y'all might adjourn?
My guess, and of course, that's really well above my pay grade, but, I would say sometime in the middle toward the end of April.
Yeah.
We'll adjourn.
It feels like does it feel like it's been a long session to you?
It doesn't feel long, but it feels heavily packed.
I mean,
it's we're doing a lot of stuff very quickly, and it's been a very busy session.
Well, the special session we ain't talked about that. We don't have to, but the special session kind of put y'all in an odd position on timing, right?
It did,
because you organized, you convened the first week, you organized, took a week off, then come back and did special session, took a week off. And that's not normal. You lost a week, basically. Actually, you lost 2 weeks, really, if you look at it, because special session was 1 week, focused on a couple things, and then you took a week off. So I figured y'all would go into May, but I was up there last week. I'm like, no, we're getting out of here in April.
The House didn't take off that second week.
Well, that's true.
The
you're
Senate
right.
did, but
you're,
the House
did. You're
didn't.
Exactly right. I'm
we,
sorry.
We did take that break, and that's usually the beginning of another new General Assembly. They take those first 2 weeks to organize and move offices, and you know all the chairmen and so forth are appointed and so forth. But the Senate took off that week, but the House worked.
Yeah,
And most of your legislation is vetted in the House because it's got more committees. You got the subcommittees that you mentioned before. They don't have all those subcommittees in the Senate because they just don't have enough members to do all that. So, you know, 7 to 9 members on a subcommittee, regardless of which one
sure.
it is a typical number. But the Senate doesn't have that. They're a lot of their committees are combined.
Well, Ed, I appreciate your work. I appreciate what you do for this area and the time you spend on it and the conversations you have with people, the conversations you've had with me and my team, Bryce especially. I know you've known him longer. Well, you've known me a while, but you've dealt with him more in the past. But appreciate everything you do for not only our county government, but everybody. You know, I'm very thankful. So thanks for being on Local Matters.
I appreciate you having me on here. It's an honor to serve.
Yep. I know you feel that way, and I'm grateful for that. Folks, I've had a good time with State Representative Ed Butler. Appreciate him being here. Hope everybody has a great week. And remember, it's always a lot easier to be kind than it is to be mean. Give somebody a hug, be and smile at them. We'll see you next time. Thanks, sir.